I'm curious if you remember hearing that first text that was read. Did it sound familiar to you? It didn't sound familiar to me. It's from the Wisdom of Solomon, which is not in the Old Testament. The Song of Solomon is in the Old Testament. But the Wisdom of Solomon is a part of the apocryphal books that come sort of between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's not a set of books that we typically use in our lectionary very often. Today is one of those days when the Wisdom of Solomon is an option for us to read. And I've been captivated by this text all week. It actually comes from the late first century before Christ, so not too distant from when Christ was born, actually. It was in the Septuagint, which is why it became a part of the Catholic and Orthodox canon of Scripture. But for those of us who are Protestants, we consider these books to be not exactly canon, but still good. So the phrases from the text that caught my attention were, God did not make death, and God does not delight in the death of the living. God created us for incorruption, made us in the image of his own eternity. And those words just kind of comforted me this week. Now, there are lots of views of death in the Bible and the world, but we don't talk about death very much. We use the language metaphorically. We talk about the death of a relationship or other things, which is a kind of death. But when to actually talk about death is something we don't do so much. Pastor Blair and I talked about this week before she went on her brief vacation. She suggested that we wrestle with the death of our image and understanding of America this 4th of July. As well as we have a reminder that we are resurrection people called by Jesus to work for the good of all. So I'm not sure where you are this 4th of July. I had two glimpses of America, though, yesterday that I wanted to share with you as we think about this holiday week that we are celebrating. My wife and I, Lisa, were invited to a walima. A walima is a Muslim wedding reception that is hosted by the groom's party. And I think it's the seventh of a series of parties for the weddings in the Muslim tradition. The groom happened to be a colleague of my wife and her work, so she invited us and others of her colleagues to come. He is a Pakistani Muslim, so it was this glorious celebration on the University of Minnesota campus with people in suits. I even bought a new suit for the occasion. And Pakistani women dressed in the beautiful Pakistani... yes, those... whatever they're called, they're beautiful. And we gather in this reception with 300 or 400 people, mostly Pakistani-Americans. But there were a few of us who were invited to come along. We were seated at a table with Lisa's colleagues. One couple was Jewish. One couple was Hindu. And we were Christian. And then there was another Pakistani-Muslim couple that joined us as well. So this table was an interfaith gathering of colleagues in the midst of this beautiful expression of the diversity that is America. So that's one of the things I'm celebrating this 4th of July. It was a beautiful moment and a time to celebrate a wedding. Yesterday was also a time when families belong together. Marches were held across our country. And I celebrate that we have the freedom to protest when there are things that we believe are wrong in this place. But I grieve that we need to protest this. I grieve that there are private corporations making millions of dollars off of the lives of these parents and children. So this 4th of July, many of us are wrestling with how do we celebrate? Wrestling with our image of America. We celebrate the values that have shaped us and formed this nation and shaped our Constitution. And I invite you to reflect on the values that are currently shaping us. What has died? What needs to be resurrected? And then how are we, as we the people of God, called to be prophets in our own land? So enjoy 4th of July. But I want to move beyond the metaphor of death to actually deal with these texts that talk about death today in our readings. Father's Day weekend, I went to visit my parents in South Dakota. It was to celebrate Father's Day, and I haven't been with my father for years just because of the way it always falls in, and we don't get there that often. So it was a joyous time. My sisters were there. We celebrated Father's Day, had a barbecue, and then the real reason for our coming was that my parents are in their 80s, and they needed to have some conversations with us about a will and powers of attorney and medical plans for if something should happen. And I even brought along the form for funeral planning. We have never had these conversations in my family. So it was a little bit, you know, I'm a pastor, I have talked about these things before, but not with my parents and not with my sisters. So we sat around the dining room table on Father's Day evening and we talked. And what surprised me was that my father was the one who talked. He's a cowboy in South Dakota. I've been a rancher in his entire life. And he was the one who was talking, especially in the funeral planning, about things he liked and songs he liked and scriptures he liked and who he wanted to be the pallbearers. And he had this whole imagination around what he wants. My mom wasn't quite so willing to talk about it because it's a hard thing to talk about. But it was a beautiful moment when we did share. And now we're a little less afraid. When I go back in a few weeks to continue the conversation, it'll be a little easier. Lisa and I are having those same conversations ourselves. We're in the midst of meeting with an attorney to do all that paperwork and all that legal stuff and revise our will from the one we had 20 years ago when Alexis was a baby. And it's just one of those things. You reach a point in life, and anytime after age 20, you're at that point in life when you sort of need to think about these things. So earlier this week, one of Alexis's classmates' brothers, who's 22 years old, was killed in a motorcycle accident in Eagan. You might have heard about it. I don't know if you saw it on the news, but the motorcycle and the car both merged into a lane at the same time, and the motorcycle lost, and he was killed. And then, I don't know if you've all seen the news, but Jack Rarick died this week. Jack died on Thursday. And I take that as the loss of a friend. There's a song by Max Reger, who's a choral composer, that we sang in my college choir. I think I may have even mentioned it once before because it had a great impact on me. The song is called O Tod, O Death. And the first half of the song, which is like 10 minutes long, is this angry sounding piece of music that says, O Death, how bitter you are when you come to the young and to those who are innocent, and when you come as the result of human sin or war or gun violence, how bitter is death. But then in the middle of the song, for the last minutes of the song, it changes to the serene and peaceful music that talks about O tot vivol bistu. O death, how good you are. When you come at the end of a long life, or when you come and relieve suffering and pain, and it celebrates that part of death. Well, all these things have been going through my mind as I thought about what I might say to you today. all these experiences and memories and the realities of what's gone on this week. And I'm sure that my experiences are different than yours, but I'm also sure that you can probably relate to at least a couple of those in your own life, your own experiences. And that's why this text from the Wisdom of Solomon so captured my imagination, even though it's probably the first time I remember having read it. God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living. God created us for incorruption and made us in the image of God, God's own eternity. Do you hear the hope and the promise in those words? God created us in the image of God's eternity. The entire Bible, I think, tells us the story of how God handles death. We have a glimpse of that in the gospel reading today as Jesus goes to this little girl who has died and says, "Talitha kum, get up, little girl." And as I think back, I didn't research this, I should have, but all the stories that I remember of Jesus coming to someone who has died, the person ends up not being dead anymore. Lazarus, others, Jesus comes to the one and they say, "Jesus, come, even if you just say the word, I know that they will live, and those who have died have life." Now, I think that's a promise from God that this is what's actually in mind here, right? This is God's imagination for us. That when Jesus encounters death, Jesus raises people from death to life. And that Easter is the story of God's raising Jesus to eternal life. And the Apostle Paul writes over and over again that we are reconciled with God through Christ. And that we have this same gift, this resurrection, that is our promise as well. We will be raised with Christ, and that Christ's death reconciles all of creation into our eternal God. This is the promise. God is present with us in every step of life's journey, be they hard or joyful. And God's promise gives us hope for every moment of life's journey, even when it's our last. Even in our last moments, we claim God's presence and God's promise. So I'm going to invite you into conversations about death. If you want to have a conversation with me, I'd be happy to chat about it. But it'd even be nicer if you had a conversation with those you love, your families and friends. Make your will if you haven't. Do all the other legal stuff that's really helpful to have if you haven't done that. Your health care wishes, make them known. Give some thought to your funeral. Write an obituary while you still remember what you did. And then talk about it with your families. Look for God's presence. Remember God's promises. And I ask you, where will you see God's Holy Spirit at work in your life and in your death? Take a moment of silence now to reflect, perhaps just to sit and experience God's presence here with us today, and to remember God's promises. Amen.